RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. Here is the news first, the headlines. IMF World Bank 2018 annual meeting tourist activists the multiplier fairly high. Indonesian youth in Egypt hold Asian Culture Festival 2017. Now the news in detail. 33 heads of state and 19,000 delegates are scheduled to attend the IMF World Bank 2018 annual meeting in Bali, October 2018. Many people welcome the meeting since it is providing a positive impact on the investment climate of the Indonesian tourism sector. Tourism activist Iwayan Puspanegara told RRI in Kuta on Sunday, November 19, that the IMF World Bank annual meeting 2018 will have a significant domino effect.
The multiplier is quite high. The IMF World Bank meeting is organized by the World Bank. Bali directly get a great public relations. Bali gets tremendous promotion.
Iwayan Puspanegara added, the belief toward the government of Indonesia will further elevate the prestige of Bali as the main destination in Indonesia. Free promotion through the IMF World Bank annual meeting should be utilized to optimize the visit of foreign tourists to Bali Island. Wayan said further, another advantage gained from the arrival of the delegation, namely the number of visits representatives of the country, reached 19,000 people, will provide trickle-down effect. 9 Asian countries, among others Indonesia, Kazakhstan, Malaysia, the Philippines, and Singapore, participated in the Asian Culture Festival 2017 in Cairo, Egypt recently. The event was held by the Association of Indonesian Youth and Students, PPMI, in the Al-Azhar University. The festival was aimed at promoting the participant countries through the art, culture, and culinary exhibition. The president of PPMI, Pangeran Arsyad, said the festival is a place for Indonesian students to practice their ability in communication with students from other countries. 12 art groups from 9 countries performed in the festival. The local people were also attracted by the festival themed diversity in the spirit of unity.
Nah, sekarang kita melihat bahwasanya acara-acara interaksi antara
there are only a few of events requiring interaction among students from various countries in Egypt. The Associations of Indonesian Youth and Students PPMI was therefore inspired to organize an event as a place for ideas exchange, culture performances, and communications among the Asian students.
The Education and Culture Attaché of the Indonesian Embassy in Egypt, Usman Shihab, said the Asian Culture Festival is the perfect place for hospitality and introducing the art and culture of each country in Asia. It is also believed to be a major supporter for maintaining peace in the region. The Indonesian Embassy appreciated the festival initiated by the PPMI, hoped it will become a routine agenda every year, which involves youth from other ASEAN countries. Jakarta Deputy Governor Sandiaga Uno believes that the target 1,000 trillion rupiah investment can be achieved in the next 5 years. He is confident of it after attending a global investment forum in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates recently. Sandiaga Uno said on Sunday, November 19, in West Jakarta that the multiplier effect will be huge, so people have to turn away from the low-wage economy. Jakarta administration is hoping to attract investment in the tourism sector. Therefore, Sandiaga Uno said he is aiming for more relaxed permit applications. He expects that it would attract investors and raise the investment target to 100 trillion rupiah in 2018. Sandiaga Uno said he will continue to increase foreign direct investments since Indonesia's economy remains lagging compared to others. He is worried that without inflow of FDI, thousands of youngsters will face the prospect of unemployment. Aside from the tourism sector, Sandiaga said that Dubai investors are also wishing to invest in the tough retail market. The deputy governor also expects investors to enter the transportation sector and help build transit-oriented development. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said Japan has proposed to construct new tracks for the medium-speed Jakarta-Surabaya railway connection, a project to be funded mainly by the Japan International Cooperation Agency JICA. Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said, after speaking at an event in Jakarta recently, as reported by Tempo.co, that there would be three tracks. In addition to the existing ones, there would be tracks for medium-speed trains. He added that his ministry was still studying the Japanese proposal. If the proposal was agreed, Minister Budi Karya Sumadi stated that it should not burden the government too much. He said JICA was arguing that if the project was going to be built around the old tracks, train operations on those tracks would be disrupted by the construction work. Laying new tracks would also avoid the overlapping use of tracks by the old slow trains and the new medium-speed ones. The Japanese proposal comes after the Indonesian government recently announced its decision to use the old tracks to curb costs. Minister Budi previously said that using the existing lines would help cap the construction costs at about $4.44 billion. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While serving as the largest source of food for Jakarta, West Java has played an important role as one of two Indonesian provinces, along with East Java, that have become the country's biggest contributors of rice. The Agriculture Ministry's Food Security Agency head, Agung Hendriadi, said at the 37th Food Security Day celebrations at Pakansari Sports Stadium in Cibinong, Bogor Regency recently, that the ministry is targeting that by 2045, Indonesia will become the world's food barn and West Java can become the biggest contributor toward achieving Indonesia's food self-sufficiency targets. West Java produced 25-30% of national animal protein sources and contributed to 40% of total horticultural commodities. In October, Indonesia began exporting rice to Malaysia and shallot to Singapore, the Philippines, and Timor-Leste. In Indonesia's roadmap to achieving food sustainability by 2019, the ministry is expected to achieve self-sufficiency in garlic and sugar for consumption. Indonesia's self-sufficiency in soya beans is expected to be achieved by 2020, followed by self-sufficiency in sugar for industry in 2025 and beef in 2026. the ecology park or eco park in Cibinong Bogor Region, Seawest Java, plays a key ecological function as the conservation area is home to a collection of thousands of rare plants from the seven biggest islands in Indonesia. Located at the Cibinong Science Center, the park, which features an artificial lake, serves as the main source of oxygen and water for people living in Cibinong and its surrounding areas. Sugiyarti, a staff member of Bogor Botanical Gardens Plant Conservation Center Public Relations Division, said the Eco Park was initiated following a need to accommodate some of the plant collections at the gardens. Built on a 87-hectare plot of land, Bogor Botanical Gardens can no longer be expanded while exploration activities continue to run. Sugiyarti recently said in Bogor that the authority chose land around the Cibinong Science Center because it's not far from Bogor Botanical Gardens. As part of Bogor Botanical Gardens, the Eco Park has a strategic function including conservation, research, education, environmental services, and ecotourism. The last item. Indonesian women chess player Dewi Ardiani Anastasia Citra secured a women grandmaster title after beating grandmaster from the World Chess Federation, Popchev Milko, in an international chess tournament in Novi Sad, Serbia. The IM Round Robin Third Saturday 54 tournament that lasted from November 12 to 18 was attended by 10 athletes from 6 countries, including from the World Chess Federation, FIDE. Habibi Suwedo, Indonesian Embassy and Biograd's Information, Social and Cultural Affairs official told the press on Sunday, November 19, that a Grandmaster Round Robin Memorial Miljo Fujovica tournament had been held during the event participated in by 10 athletes from 7 countries, including Indonesia, represented by Sean Vincent Juhendi. Indonesian Ambassador to Serbia and Montenegro, Harry Kandau, said the achievement proved that Indonesia's big potential in sport and hope it would boost the spirit and optimism for all parties to support Indonesian athletes. Grandmaster is the highest and lifetime title from the World Chess Federation, FIDE, given to a chess player who can achieve it. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. IMF World Bank 2018 annual meeting, tourist activists, the multiplier fairly high. Indonesian youth in Egypt hold Asian Culture Festival 2017. That was the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesia Military and Police Free Hostages in Papua. A heroic and laudable deed has been conducted by joint forces of Indonesian National Military TNI and the National Police Polri on Friday, 17th November 2017. In a silent operation that lasted only 1 hour and 18 minutes, the joint forces of TNI and Polri managed to evacuate 344 of 1,300 residents at Kampung Kimbeli and Kampung Banti in Tembagapura sub-district Mimika, Papua, held by the armed criminal group KKB without harming any officers or soldiers and hostages. The hostage certainly attracted the attention of the government and Indonesian people, even the international community. National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian said that the armed criminal group KKB that holds 1,300 Mimika residents is an old group whose number is not many, but they are familiar with the terrain and they possess some weapons. They mingle with the population and use a hit-and-run strategy. This group is formed because they have a low economic level and feel dissatisfaction towards the government. General Tito Karnavian and Commander of Indonesian National Military Tni General Gatot Nurmantio gave a high appreciation to their subordinates who have jointly conducted the operation of State Liberation in Papua. This operation is considered successful because there were no casualties. However, the security apparatus should not be complacent and they still have to keep pursuing the remaining members of the armed criminal group who are still at large. A number of fugitives in the operation managed to escape from the pursuit of the authorities. They also still carry weapons, so there is still a looming threat. Indonesian people are certainly proud of the accomplishment of a joint military and police officers who have managed to free hundreds of residents held hostage by the armed criminal group. The right attitude of the TNI and Polri shows willingness to sacrifice for safety of others, just like Indonesian national heroes in the past. They were ready to sacrifice even their lives for the establishment of the entire state of Republic of Indonesia. Bravo Indonesia military and Indonesian national police. That's commentary from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over at Rural Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on November 20, 1945, when Igusti Ngurah Rai passed away. Lieutenant General Igusti Ngurah Rai is an Indonesian national hero who commanded Indonesian forces in Bali against the Dutch during the Indonesian War of Independence. After the Indonesian Declaration of Independence, he established the People's Security Army, the forerunner of the military of Indonesia for the Lesser Sunda Islands. Ngurah Rai found that the Republican forces were divided and he fought hard to reunite them. He then organized the peasantry against the Dutch forces headquarters in Tapanan. On 20 November 1946, the Dutch launched large attack on Marga with the assistance of troops from Lombok and supported by aircraft. Lieutenant Colonel Ngurah Rai ordered a paputan for fighting to the death. He was killed along with all his troops. The battle is now known as the Battle of Margarana. Ngurah Rai was buried in Marga. On 9 August 1975, he was declared a national hero through presidential decision. Ngurah Rai International Airport in Bali is named for him. The next event was in 1945 when the Nuremberg Court brought 24 Nazi war criminals. The Nuremberg trials were a series of military tribunals held by the Allied forces under international law and the laws of war after World War II. The trials were most notable for the persecution of prominent members of the political, military, judicial, and economic leadership of Nazi Germany, who planned, carried out, or otherwise participated in the Holocaust and other war crimes. The trials were held in the city of Nuremberg, Germany, and their decision marked a turning point between classical and contemporary international law. The first and best known set of these trials were those of major war criminals before the International Military Tribunal, IMT. They were described as the greatest trial in history by Norman Birkett, one of the British judges who presided over them. Held between 20 November 1945 and 1st October 1946, the tribunal was given the task of trying 24 of the most important political and military leaders of the Third Reich. And the last event was in 1994, the signing of Armistice, which is the process of Lusaka Protocol. Lusaka Protocol, which was signed in Lusaka, Zambia, November 20, 1994, tried to end Angola Civil War by joining and developing Union Nacional para Independencia, Total de Angola, or UNITA, a national reconciliation. Both sides signed a ceasefire as part of the protocol of November 20th. The agreement created a joint commission which consisted of officials of the government of Angola, UNITA and United Nations, along with the government of Portugal, United States and Russia, which became observers to observe the implementation. Well, listener, that was Student History read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is Indonesian-Australian military relations have improved. The presence of Australian military commander Marsyad Mat Binskin in Indonesia to meet TNI Commander General Gatot Nurmantyo shows improved relations between Indonesia and Australia. International law lecturer of University of Indonesia, Professor Hikmahanto Juwana, said to Media Indonesia on Saturday, November 18, 2017, that the arrival of Australian military commander shows that the military relations between the two countries are back to normal. At the beginning of this year, TNI temporarily suspended military cooperation with Australian Defence Forces because of alleged insult to Pancasila at the ADF facility. Professor Hikmahanto also said that the visit of the ADF commander at the TNI headquarters means that all the issues that had been addressed had been fixed. He explained that the two sides met in the recent Australian-Indonesian high-level committee in Jakarta. They discussed various cooperation plans such as in the field of counter-terrorism, maritime security, disaster prevention and intelligence. TNI Commander General Gatot Nurmantyo said that based on mutual respect and interest of the two countries and armed forces, he along with ADF Marshal Commander Mat Binskin led the fifth session of AUSHINDO HLC at TNI Cilangkap headquarters in East Jakarta. He believes that the cooperation can be more strengthened if based on spirit of building a good relationship. General Gatot views that the HLC meeting shows that the bond of friendly relation between the two countries is more closely intertwined, both at the level of leadership and officer of both parties. He also asserted that the cooperation will contribute to the realization of a safe, stable, and conducive region and more broadly, the realization of peaceful and orderly world. General Gatot Nurmantyo added that the cooperation between TNI and IDF is very important because it is related to the bilateral relation between the two countries, which geographically are neighbors and they share the same boundary line. He assesses that the threat in the treaty is complex. Meanwhile, the Australian military commander, Marshal Mat Binskin, said that the HLC meeting was one of the important opportunities for both sides to discuss the opportunity and challenge and to agree on a future direction of military cooperation. Binskin added that the closer cooperation between TNI and IDF can support counter-terrorism measures in the region. This has a valuable contribution to the creation of security in the region. Commander Binskin assessed that the IDF and TNI have many opportunities to cooperate. This contributes not only for the security of the region but also the two countries. This common interest opens up many opportunities for mutually beneficial cooperation, especially in counter-terrorism, maritime security, disaster response, peacekeeping and intelligence troops. While listening, that was Focus read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with news and brief. 33 heads of state and 19,000 delegates are scheduled to attend the IMF World Bank 2018 annual meeting in Bali in October 2018. Many people welcome the meeting since it is providing a positive impact on the investment climate of Indonesian tourism sector. Tourism activist Iwayan Puspanegara told RRI in Kuta that the IMF World Bank annual meeting 2018 will have a significant domino effect. Non-Asian countries, among others Indonesia, Kazakhstan, Malaysia, the Philippines, and Singapore, participated in the Asian Culture Festival 2017 in Cairo, Egypt, recently. The event was held by the Association of Indonesian Youth and Students in the Al-Azhar University. Jakarta Deputy Governor Sandiaga Uno believes that the target of 1,000 trillion rupiah investment can be achieved in the next 5 years. He is confident of it after attending a global investment forum in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, recently. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said Japan has proposed to construct new tracks for the medium-speed Jakarta-Surabaya railway connection, a project to be funded mainly by the Japan International Cooperation Agency, JICA. While serving as the largest source of food for Jakarta, West Java has played an important role as one of two Indonesian provinces, along with East Java, that have become the country's biggest contributors of rice. The Ecology Park, Eco Park in Cibinong Bogor Regency, West Java, plays a key ecological function as the conservation area is home to a collection of thousands of rare plants from the seven biggest islands in Indonesia. Indonesian women chess player Devi Ardiani Anastasia Citra secured a women grandmaster title after beating grandmaster from the World Chess Federation Popchov Milko in an international chess tournament in Novi Sad, Serbia. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Lego Lego Dance in East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listeners, Alor is one of regencies in East Nusa Tenggara province. In the regency, several traditional tribes of Flores with its customs still exist, and there have not been many changes since Stone Age. The greatness of Alor culture can be found at Takpala village, which is lived by Abui tribe. The largest tribe in Alor still upholds the tradition by preserving a series of traditional buildings with half shape of pyramid roof from coconut leaf. The buildings are supported by four pillars made from coconut trunks and also walls from plaited bamboos. Intentional to the traditional building, the tribes also preserve their original cultures. One of the cultures is Lego Lego Dance. Listeners, Lego-Lego Dance is a power of unity and brotherhood symbol of Abui tribe. The dance is played massively by hand in hand and standing in a circle. Lego-Lego Dance is usually performed in various traditional ceremonies in Alor, such as wedding ceremony. But now, the dance is often performed to welcome guests or tourists who come from to Alor, especially Takpala village. The villagers in Alor are happy if their village is visited. The dance is an expression of happiness. Listeners, previously, the guests will be welcomed by the elder by greeting, where the elder sticks his nose to the nose of the guest. Then the guests are invited to a big shady tree. The guests with several local women hold hands by hands and go around mezbah tree or altar under the tree. The guests are welcome to participate in the dance. By moving the feet, which is kill-grabbed, the dancer will move by going around the tree and accompanied by gong and moko instruments, which is made from brass. When dancing, betel nut and sopi are offered. Sopi is traditional alcoholic beverage. Listeners, local women and men who dance are wearing traditional clothes. Women's hair is left unrevealed and they also wear veils. While on their legs, they wear a silver bracelet and will make sound when it is moved. When they dance, they also sing and rim. But to sing and to rim are usually held by people who are already accustomed. It is usually held by the elder. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is membuat visa, or in English, making visa stagent. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Membuat visa. Membuat visa. In English, making visa. Paspor. Paspor. In English, passport. Tujuan. Tujuan. In English, purpose. Anda. Anda. In English, you. Datang. Datang. In English, to come. Mengunjungi, mengunjungi, in English, to visit. Sahabat, sahabat in English friend. Berwisata, berwisata in English to tour. Jalan-jalan, jalan-jalan in English traveling. Membayar, membayar in English to pay. Biaya, biaya in English cost. Beres, beres in English okay. 30 hari, 30 hari in English 30 days. Selamat datang in English welcome. Menikmati, menikmati in English to enjoy. Listener, next is a conversation about membuat visa or in English making visa. As usual, I say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between immigration staff and Jackie at the airport. A. Immigration staff. Maaf, bisa lihat paspor Anda? Maaf, bisa lihat paspor Anda in English? Sorry. Can I see your passport, please? Jackie, ini pak, in English, here it is. Immigration staff, boleh tahu apa tujuan Anda datang ke Indonesia? Boleh tahu apa tujuan Anda datang ke Indonesia? In English, excuse me, what is your purpose to come to Indonesia? Jackie, untuk mengunjungi sahabat saya. Untuk mengunjungi sahabat saya, in English, to visit my friend. Selain itu juga untuk berwisata. Selain itu juga untuk berwisata, in English. In addition, I also want to traveling. Hanya jalan-jalan saja. Hanya jalan-jalan saja, in English, only sightseeing. Immigration staff. Baiklah. Baiklah, in English, all right. Silakan membayar visa ini. Silakan membayar visa ini. In English, you have to pay the visa. Jackie, baik pak, ini uangnya. Baik pak, ini uangnya. In English, all right, here is the money. Immigration staff, terima kasih, terima kasih. In English, thank you. Visa Anda sudah beres. Visa Anda sudah beres. In English, your visa is already okay. Ini visa Anda. Ini visa Anda. Visa ini berlaku selama 30 hari. Visa ini berlaku selama 30 hari. In English, here is your visa. It is valid for 30 days. Selamat datang di Indonesia dan selamat menikmati wisata Anda di Indonesia. Selamat datang di Indonesia dan selamat menikmati wisata Anda di Indonesia. In English, welcome to Indonesia and enjoy your holiday in Indonesia. Jackie, terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa! Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular segment Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present a talented Indonesian male singer, Toto Salmon. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Bandar Jakarta by Toto Salmon. Happy listening.
You've just listened to the song Bandar Jakarta by Toto Salmon. The song is an original Kroncong song composed by Ismail Marzuki and Iskandar. The song tells about the beauty of the city of Jakarta in the past, especially its coastal area. A Thousand Islands is one of the enchantment objects of the Jakarta Bay. The song was nicely brought by Toto Salmon, one of the talented Kroncong singers of Indonesia. In the 1960s, Toto, who graduated from technical school, began to bring the songs of Seryoza genre, which he learned from his teacher, Nardi. In addition, he also joined a group of teen dancers, Teenager Dance Club. Due to lack of interest of the young people in singing Kroncong, prompting Toto Salmon to choose Kroncong music. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Ariati by Toto Salmon.
Ah.
listener, the song Aryati is an old song composed by a famous Indonesian composer, Ismail Marzuki. Nevertheless, the song that tells about the admiration of a man to his beloved woman becomes a legend, especially among Kroncong music lovers. Toto Salmon tried to do his musical abilities by participating in various festivals. From 1975 until 1982, Toto survived as the first winner of radio and television singing contest in the category of Kroncong. A number of awards were achieved, such as the Best Traditional Kroncong Album Award in 1998. In 2002, Toto also won an award as the Kroncong Legendary Singer from the Mayor of West Jakarta. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kroncong Moritsko and Jembatan Merah by Toto Salmon. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.